This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. Big old Friday episode where we get to have a little bit of fun. Today, talk about a little bit of good news, and then we're done, and nothing happens in the world or in politics until Monday. It feels good. We've got that going for us, Brett Ehrlich. We've also got you, Brett, going for us. How you doing?
I'm feeling great. You know, I'm doing another job at the same time.
Thank you for doing that.
That's it. I hit send. I'm really happy today, John. I'm glad you asked. Now that I'm present, my presence is a present.
Here's the thing, Brett. I was going to threaten the audience that we would not do any news until we got to 1,000 likes and see who breaks first. But it turns out I don't think we're going to get to any news anytime soon. So I guess it's a toothless threat.
Definitely the way I've been behaving thus far, we will not get to 1,000 likes either.
One of two potential worlds. We could fix it or we could just continue. Anyway, so Brett, what is going on the TYT network throughout this Friday?
I'm glad you asked, John. This Wednesday, the worst thing imaginable happened. Instead of happy half hour and my beautiful face, you had to see, I forget who, but they were ugly people, not just outside, but inside, covering Joe Biden's speech. I don't remember. I didn't watch. I was too busy crying. The fact of the matter is, we get a chance that is unprecedented. We have a makeup episode of Happy Half Hour this Friday instead of Common Room. So at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, everyone tipple back some shoddy poos because we're going to cover some great news with some great booze. Someone dropped off a whole mess of airplane minis at our house. So I'm just going to work my way through them like I'm on a trans con. You know what I mean, John?
I worked out your lingo. Anyway, so that's cool. Who's going to be joining you?
No one. The viewers, man. Thanks for watching Happy Half Hour recently in the new format where it's just me
Brooke
getting progressively drunker.
Had been on it a bunch of okay, well, you're going to be joined by someone that just might be a paramedic, okay? Keep the option open. Anyway, have fun, although I care less now than I did a minute ago. Okay, so watch that or don't, doesn't matter to me. So also a little bit later on today on the TRT network, I'm gonna be leading the first hour of the Young Turks. Friday Power Panel with me, Cenk Uygur, and Francesca Fiorentini. That's gonna be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see what she has to say about the most recent Gates stuff, which we will also be discussing in just a little bit. Also, to give you an early heads up, next Monday, starting next Monday, May 3rd, you can tune into Old School live streaming publicly to everyone. Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and tyt.com/live, which is gonna be absolutely awesome. There will also be a bonus 45 minutes of members only content starting at 10:45 p.m. Eastern time, 7:45 Pacific time. So it's gonna be live. They're gonna be taking your comments. It's gonna be interactive. It's gonna be great. And that is starting next Monday. So definitely, definitely watch that. Maybe watch Happy Half Hour, definitely watch Old School. I think we can all agree on that. Okay, and so as we launch into this hour of news, please hit the like button and share the stream so that people know we're live. And if you wanna interact with us, you know the ways. Don't pretend that you don't. Okay, with that, Brett, you wanna jump in the news?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. Ooh, things are not looking good for Matt Gaetz because the Daily Beast, which is an outlet that has had a number of different scoops in the ever devolving story of Matt Gaetz's hobbies has a confession letter. And that was written by Joel Greenberg, his big political ally and the guy who apparently committed the most crimes over the past few years in the entire country. But anyway, in the final months of the Trump presidency, he wrote this confession letter, which was part of his attempt to get a pardon for himself and potentially for Matt Gaetz, it's looking like. So in it, he claims that he and Matt Gaetz paid for sex with multiple women, as well as a girl who was 17 at the time. The letter, which the Daily Beast obtained, was written after Greenberg, who is under federal indictment, asked Roger Stone, because of course he would have to be involved at some point in this, to help him secure a pardon from then President Donald Trump. So that's your headline version, and it's not good. But there are many, many details, a lot of which we're going to cover, and every single one of them makes this way worse. So let's jump into a little bit of this before we give our commentary. In the letter, it says, on more than one occasion, this individual was involved in sexual activities with several of the other girls, the congressman from Florida's first congressional district, which isn't the same as saying Matt Gaetz's name, but it's pretty close, and myself. So there, Greenberg is referring to a 17-year-old. He says, from time to time, gas money or gifts, rent or partial tuition payments were made to several of these girls, including the individual who is not yet 18. I did see the acts occur firsthand, and Venmo transactions, Cash App or other payments were made to these girls on behalf of the congressman. So I don't know if that means that he saw himself pay, he saw Matt Gaetz pay, or he saw the sex firsthand. Presumably he saw some of it. For that sentence to make sense, he has to be talking about Matt Gaetz and the 17-year-old, doesn't he?
Yeah, if he did witness Matt Gaetz having sex, he suffered enough. Like,
you think we should let him off granted. The time?
Just looking at that. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. Oh, like the tiny arms and the like wide torso. Oh yeah, baby. My dad got me off from a DUI. Let me return the, let me pay it forward. This is only in reference to the people who were over 18 that he had sex with. Because otherwise it's really gross.
I am now suffering at least as much as Greenberg did in the satirical thing that you just did. Anyway, but yes, that appears to be what he's talking about there. Now, that's the letter. We have the letter, we have more details from the letter, we'll get to those. But we also have communications apparently between Joel Greenberg and Roger Stone. Now, what's funny about this is that they were communicating and Roger Stone was apparently consistently wiping every surface that Greenberg and Matt Gaetz touch. No, he was wiping the conversation to like stop it from having a trail. But Greenberg was taking screenshots constantly showing the deep level of respect and trust between these individuals back when they were working together. So they have this series of private messages starting in late 2020. So this is after the election, when publicly all of these people are saying that Trump is still gonna be president, but they knew that that wasn't true. So the race was on to get a pardon for all of the bad stuff you did. And we have some details, so we can bring it up. I don't know how visible it's gonna be. I'm realizing now, probably not so much. Okay, so I will translate, don't worry. So at one point, Roger Stone says, today's the day, we will know by the end of the day about the pardon. I think you sent me some document, but it disappeared. I hope you are prepared to wire me $250,000 because I am feeling confident. Please give me the money for the crimes I'm criming.
No, it's not the crimes he's criming though. This is different. The Roger Stone angle.
Is it not a crime?
The Roger Stone angle, listen, should it be a crime? Yes, is it necessarily a crime? Not really. You pay your lawyer to get you out of legal jams. I love this because it was basically like Roger Stone woke up one morning and is like, sniffs around. Is there a creep somewhere in America? Yeah, I think there is a creep. And then he just like followed his nose to this creep. And then it's the best way to think about it is like Roger Stone is just messing with this guy because he's bored. Roger Stone is like, so what, you did some terrible stuff? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And Roger Stone is like, can you write it down?
Wait, you're actually writing it down? Oh, well, you gotta send me this, man.
Yeah, you definitely need to write it down. And
No, but Brett, at one point,
can you say it into this microphone real quick?
Could you partake in this dramatic reenactment? No, at one point, Joel Greenberg says, it's like 18 pages. Should I make it shorter? And Stone's like, no, no, make it as long and detailed as it needs to be.
Yeah.
I like sure. your theory, actually.
This is definitely how things work around here. What you do is you pay me $250,000 in Bitcoin. Because the other thing
needs
is
to be
Greenberg's paid. Like, yo, can I send this in Bitcoin? Yo, do you take Doge? Do you take Dogecoin, bruh?
I'm like a little bit worried that I'm not coming off as enough of a douche. So I'd really like to throw some spice on this thing.
Like that's it. I think Ken Klippenstein was like, I just remembered a crime I committed. So I'm going to confess it to the biggest rat effer in the history of the world. Like,
well, that's partly true. But Roger Stone did protect Trump. He's barely human, but he does have that going for him. He was loyal to Trump more than most of the others.
These guys are they're Orlando in The Wire. The guy who's not involved, but the one who wants to become a player. This is season one.
I might watch it sometime. Anyway,
I get what you're saying. Okay, I won't spoil what happens to people in The Wire. but essentially in that show from 2004, but essentially The Sopranos or any mob movie where there's guys who really think that they're cool enough to run with the real crew. And the real crew doesn't fully know what they're doing, but they've at least been doing it longer than these jag holes.
Sure.
And the jag holes are like, yo, I got an easy score. Is this how it works? And all they do is take advantage of these guys, like bless their little hearts. And meanwhile, these somehow,
like the young kids on Sopranos that tried to become. I watched that episode.
That kid later, I like to think it's the same universe where he then goes on to work for Samantha as her assistant. Like or beforehand,
you've lost me. Anyway, yes, I think that you're right. Now let's jump into some other details. So in the communications between Joel Greenberg and Roger Stone, Greenberg is very confident of a few different things, and maybe we can bring up this communication. So because of what I requested, you still won't be able to see it, but at least I'll have a graphic. So he says Matt Gaetz, and he calls him MG. So bear that in mind, it's Matt Gaetz, not Marjorie Greene, who has her own things in her background. Look it up, I'm not gonna cover it. So he absolutely has to know that the sex charge they hit me with would be what they hit him with. All he has to do is explain to POTUS the situation and his exposure, and it would be very easy to do. He says one conversation with POTUS, he can get this done and it all goes away. But think about that, it's simultaneously a very accurate read. Well, it turns out maybe not, but I think an understandable read of what Trump would do for a guy, Matt Gaetz, that he labels as like his son. But which son? That would have been a good question. They think, oh no, the president will totally give us a pardon after we paid for a bunch of sex and slept with a 17-year-old. That is something the president should do and will do. Like that sucks. That's the movement you're a part of, that you think that no, I should totally get away with all of this stuff. And that's what the power of the presidency is for. They've been given this great pardon power to protect two-bit douches who sleep with 17-year-olds and try to get away with it. Like, I don't know, just the whole thing. And then he ropes in Roger Stone, a guy who he thinks, oh no, it's totally reasonable that I would pay you $250,000 in Bitcoin. That's how pardons should be handed out. This is the sleaziest, most corrupt thing ever.
I'll wait for you to get to season four of The Wire to spoil that stuff. but yeah, they just think that's how it works. But the truth is, this is not related to The Wire, so don't try to read into this. The truth is, Trump was an unprecedented kind of person to be in the White House. For all anyone knew, for all Trump knew, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
He got rich off the office anyway. His family got rich off the office anyway. They drove people to go stay in their hotels to sign away new patent rights. That's what they were doing. That's what it's all about. Now, that's not to say that politicians didn't do that kind of stuff, corruption before. Of course they did. But Trump was an unprecedented type of person Like maybe if Kennedy's dad got to be president, it would have been that way. But because he was an actual gangster, but really, you know, usually it's one or two generations removed before they clean it up and put a suit on it so it can live in the White House. But I will say this about all of it. People who are rooting for Matt Gaetz through all this being like, so what? I also want to have sex parties. It should be legal to have sex parties and sleep with whoever I want. And she was lying about her age. She was 17, but she was really 19, or she said she was 19 or 18. Mm-hmm. But that would be fine, theoretically, I guess, in a way I could at least wrap my mind around it. If people like Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump, and Roger Stone were trying to get that kind of life for you,
for everyone.
Like, if whatever your ideal was, if they were trying to in any way pass that lifestyle on to anyone but themselves, I could at least understand the through line of your logic. But in this, you're just like, it's all become a movie and it's all become escapism really at that point, and not related to what politicians should be able to deliver to you as a voter, which is a better life. These guys are just taking your tax money and spending it on tuition for cute nickname 17-year-old boo, as well as rent money, which is prostitution really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which again, I mean, I don't want to speak fully for you, but talking about reforming that is perfectly fine. That's not what he's doing at all. And it's easy to get this, I think, a perfectly fair impression of Matt Gaetz, who believes that his obligation to his constituents is to do a couple of hits on Sean Hannity and then fly to some island and pay a 17-year-old for sex. And that's really, that is the extent of his obligation in regards to our democracy. But really fast, because you mentioned the fact that according to Greenberg, she had lied about her age, which is potentially an important part of this story. So I want to get to the details of that, because I want to evaluate who's bad and how bad are they. So for instance, I talked about how bad it is that they could all think that it's totally cool to pay for pardons and that Trump would do this. Notably, Trump did not pardon them. So Trump is one of the worst people in the world, but this was apparently too much for Trump, or at least for the gatekeepers to Trump's pardon. So
the gatekeepers.
So, and Gaetz apparently didn't help Greenberg, and Greenberg was kind of shocked by this. Although he's mostly shocked because it seemed self-destructive, because Gaetz himself would go down for the same things. But anyway, so that's potentially a point to the good. So then in terms of the girl, in those letters, Greenberg detailed his relationship with Gaetz. He confessed to paying young women for sex, and he claimed that he, Gaetz, and others had sex with a minor they believed to be 19 at the time. Greenberg said he learned she was underage on September 4th, 2017 from an anonymous tip and quickly contacted Gaetz. So here's the interesting thing about that. So supposedly they were angry about this and they cut off contact with that girl until she turned 18. So they felt so bad about it that they waited a few months and then started having sex with her again. I don't know, that just seems weird. Like that doesn't
sound like a true love story, John.
There's something old school romantic about it. And again, this is coming from Greenberg, but bear in mind, like we can evaluate how trustworthy we think Greenberg is, and there's a lot of reason to believe that you shouldn't believe literally anything he says. That said, this isn't just information he's giving to the DOJ to save himself while throwing Gaetz under the bus. This is information he was going to give to the president to protect himself and potentially Matt Gaetz. So we could come up with an explanation for why he would lie in this. Maybe he lied about thinking that she was 19, I don't know. But it's not the same sort of situation as when you are trying to buy your freedom basically from the DOJ, I think. I don't know.
Well, listen, you can find a reason why he'd lie. You could find a reason why this would be how stupid he is. But I can't find a reason to think that this absolves anyone of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or should.
Yeah. Like, this Matt Gaetz is a congressperson. We trust Matt Gaetz with a lot of specifics of our lives. Or at least his constituents do. Should be able to trust him with a lot of specifics, a lot of vetting. He's writing laws that will affect literally every American, or at least signing off on laws that will, affect literally every American. So he's got to be pretty detail oriented. Fact, you should be detail oriented about the age of the person you're having sex with, especially if your jam is teens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And even if she is 18 and he's 38, like I'm a year older than that. I don't want to do this to an 18-year-old.
That's kind of you. Okay, there's a lot of bad people in this country and some of them are on this call. Anyway, I agree with what you're saying, but I want to get in just a little bit more of, I want you to know what sort of men these are. So one of these details is for Greenberg and one is for Roger Stone. So first of all, from Roger Stone, an update from Stone came just after midnight on December 8th, quote, "Your thing is being looked at. First of all, ew," but he means his case.
Double ew. Yeah.
"And I will have an answer by Saturday as to whether you have a viable shot for justice and how to go about it." That is really sick that he used the word justice. Give me them bitcoins so I can have the most corrupt president in American history get you off for your underage sex trafficking. That's justice. Wow.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
I do not think. Anyway, yeah, that's sick. And then
it's possible that justice is what he calls his thing.
That's whether you have a viable shot for justice. Ew. Anyway, this might be worse though. This is the response from Greenberg. "Thank you so much, Roger. I am very thankful for you. I pray that the Lord will help. I remain optimistic and will wait to hear back from you." So look. I'm an atheist. Nobody cares what I think about religion, but I have to assume that if the Lord, the divine creator of man, the universe, and everything cares about anything, it's not whether you get off with no consequences for underage sex trafficking, you sick weirdo. How could you invoke the name of the Lord? Is it? Is it some other Lord? Is it like a British Lord? Is it a member of the royal family? They're involved in a lot of this stuff too, maybe. It can't be God. It can't be Yahweh that cares about you being protected from consequences for any sex trafficking. That is just so weird that these guys talk, they use these words and they have no idea what they mean. I don't like any of this.
I don't like it. I love it. Like, it is insane for this reason alone. They got mad at Obama for wearing a tan suit.
Mm-hmm. They got more mad than
like.
This. Yeah.
They have cried out for the cancellation of people for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a signed, sealed, delivered confession letter saying, yeah, we knew she was 17. We found out she was 17. And we didn't tell anybody. We just waited till she turned 18.
To keep having more sex with her. So please pardon us.
Why? Because, and just to crystallize it, like, when I found out she was 18, I stopped. Well, she was 17, I stopped. That's it. Oh, because if he admits that. He found out that she was 17 and kept doing it. That's way worse. That's mens rea. Like, teens rea. Pre-bat mitzvah rea.
Okay, you're passing me and you're whatever. Anyway, yes. And
Judaism.
Look, Stone, thank you. Thank you. Well, there was a mix of several different things here. Anyway, legalese and all that. Anyway, so Latin, I think. Anyway, Stone acknowledged on Thursday night that there may be, quote, copies of correspondence between me and Mr. Greenberg, but he questioned whether they were complete, unedited, or accurate. Like, that's not even claiming that they're inaccurate. That's just like, I mean, I don't know for sure. I got a sinking feeling. But like, and again, he could be lying, whatever. He could be lying about what he did. He could definitely be lying about what Matt Gaetz did. But this fits in with a lot of the other pieces of this story, and I don't think that's what's happening.
Stone's quote is so Stone along the way. It's like, it sounds like something I'd do. I don't remember it. I do a lot of stuff like this. It's been my jam since Nixon. But yeah, I'm not gonna rule that one out. That is fairly classic me.
Thank you.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
So it's been revealed that through Joel Greenberg's confession letter that Matt Gaetz did definitely pay for sex multiple times, including with a 17-year-old. And so he is desperately in need of both a distraction and some allies. And so seems natural that this guy who now almost certainly was having, I even feel saying having sex with a 17-year-old feels deeply problematic and sick. But yeah, it's all out there. So why wouldn't Marjorie Greene step to the plate and help him out? Marjorie Greene, the woman whose entire worldview is based around a belief in a behind the scenes hidden cabal of political elites who prey on young people for sex, is the one person not only sticking with Matt Gaetz, but going on the road with the buddy comedy no one requested. They're going on a rally and road trip. So she tweeted out something she announced on Steve Bannon's War Room, just to include one more abhorrent human in this. So they're gonna be doing this America First tour on May 7th. They're starting in the Villages down in Florida, and they are attempting to send the message that they can't be canceled, that they're not gonna be quiet. And the infamy their critics attribute to them is translatable as fame and power in the conservative movement, at least until the cuffs go on. So Gaetz said in a radio ad to promote it, "The radical left is coming for you and they know I'm in the way. Come stand with me as we fight back together against this radical president, his far left agenda." It's just so lazy, this whole, "They're not coming for me, they're coming for you, I'm just in the way." What? Like, there, you did all these crimes and there's an investigation. Most Democrats aren't even talking about it. What does that have? Like, they didn't do the sex trafficking. You did. Most of your constituents innocent of sex trafficking. Ugh.
Listen, what do you think about Marjorie Greene? No one's coming for Matt Gaetz.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. And he's not coming for you unless you're under 18.
I'm not
like someone had to go there. And it's not gonna be like the respectable people you have on the show. Someone needed to do it, and I'm in a weird mood. So
you're born in a weird mood and you remain that way. So what about Marjorie Greene, a person who still believes in the whole Q thing and save our children, all of that? Like, it really does seem like it's a thing that's easy to care about when it's hypothetical, but like as soon as more evidence, like this came out like as the new revelations that he was doing this, that he paid a 17-year-old for sex, then was sort of bothered for like a month and then started paying her for sex again. Like, feel like it's a weird move for the Q person, but it doesn't, I can't assume that it's gonna hurt her support among Q people.
Yeah, it's just like being a congressman isn't enough to get girls. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you got to pay them. Being a rich, powerful politician is not enough. You've got to pay teenagers for doing it. Like that's just something that bears saying that is so pathetic for all these people like, yeah, Matt Gaetz getting it done. Cool guy. Nice plaid suit. Like, no, you had to pay. Like, it's disgusting. We all know.
Yeah, it fits into a general thing that he gives across that this is not a serious person. This is not a person worthy of respect. This is a person who respects his constituents or his supporters. He was born into a situation that was easier, and he has abused the system to make it even easier ever since.
Yeah, and it's a I like the tour because it's not two of the same kind of people. They kind of complement each other because you've got like the trashy rich kid somehow like finding the trashy, not rich woman who's, I can't remember if it's her or Lauren Boebert, who's, I think Boebert's husband was the one arrested.
She is actually fairly rich.
For showing off their junk. So that's Boebert. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is like the CrossFit mom who kind of reads memes and that's the truth for her. The kind of person who says, research it, do your research. But the only research she does is like, if there's a serif in the font, she's out. Like if there's a link in it even, she's out. She doesn't know how those work. If she doesn't want to stop that long in her Facebook feed while doing research. So she only does things that are like 9 words. And if 5G isn't there, she's out. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene. And you have someone who knows that he's full of crap, like Matt Gaetz 100% knows he's slime and knows he's lying. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, who thinks she's actually fighting for Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen, and doesn't understand that her God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen, wouldn't necessarily ask you to go to bat for a child molester if these confession letters bear out to be true. Like he's a child molester if that's the case. If the signed confession letter is that wasn't obtained under penalty of torture is real, then he is a child molester. QAnoner, it's the people who always want to be contrarian, even if the thing that they're disagreeing with is a provable truth. They want to feel smarter than you. They think they're so damn smart. And the reason they're allowed to do that is because they don't really know anything. That's it. And they call us elitist at the same time that they're saying they're smarter than us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good grift when you pitch yourself as being part of a movement against the elitists as you try to pay a guy that's been manipulating politics since Nixon $250,000 in Bitcoin to not face legal consequences for international sex trafficking. It's fun. I mean, if you can believe that Tucker Carlson is some sort of populist, I guess you can believe pretty much anything.
And they didn't even change the name of the tour from the name of the caucus they got in trouble for espousing Anglo-Saxon traditions, which not even Tucker Carlson could bail them out of despite trying.
Yeah.
Like you're still doing it. Come on, you got to come up with another name.
She wants to prove that she can make it work, that she can't be canceled. And so far, she hasn't committed international sex trafficking, so she might get away with it. Him, it's not looking as good. Joe Rogan has responded to the criticism he faced when he appeared to advocate for young people not getting the vaccine, even if they could and it was free and available. Here is what he had to say.
Corona for me was weird already. So I was like, I don't know, I'll just do that thing to not have it again. I bought into the system. I'm a sheep.
Well, it's not being a sheep. I mean, there's some legitimate science behind this. This is like the thing about this whole thing, people being upset at me. I didn't say I'm not an anti-vax person.
Right.
In fact, I said I believe they're safe and I encourage many people to take them. My parents were vaccinated. I just said I don't think that if you're a young, healthy person that you need it. Their argument was, you need it for other people.
So you don't transmit the virus.
That makes more sense.
So I'm
a
young.
But that's a different argument. That's
I'm a young, not so healthy person.
Okay.
Right.
So, like in 6 different ways. So look, the fact that he is trying to sort of apologize, but not really, and he undercuts it in a million ways, I guess is progress. But that was
That was, God, that wasn't good in so many different ways. Hey, I'm not anti-vax. I know a person who once got a vaccine. No, like almost everybody does. Lots of people do. You have vaccines in your system. Stop treating it as if it's this weird niche thing. But I have a more important issue. But first, Brett, what do you have to say about that?
There's this one of the best lines in sitcom history, because it's meta and perfect and reflects what happens on sitcoms every day, is from Boy Meets World, where Corey, in a kind of breaking the fourth wall moment, after learning yet another moral to a very basic lesson, goes, "How can I learn so much every week and still be so stupid?" That's it. It's just like, this guy is just a dude who sits there and has conversations with folks. And the thing that people like about him is he talks about putting people's faces through chain octagons or whatever. That's a whole thing I don't.
Some of those words make sense, not necessarily in that order, but yes.
All I know of UFC is it creates pockets of my neighborhood where I hear faint, like, oh, boom, from people watching it. Like, I'm like, it must be UFC season if they have a season.
Yes.
But the other thing is he just sits there and asks the questions and kind of goes through and does his little little question and answer periods where he learns from folks.
Sure.
And that's his. He's like, I'm just asking questions and I want to learn. I'm an everyman. But like, how many times can you have these learning sessions and still have a baseline of stupidity?
People go to school and they learn a little every day and they get smarter. That's the point. You're going to school every day, but you still manage to stay like right here. Well, look, hold on, Brett. Now, so as a general principle, I don't know if that's fair or not. I don't watch a show, but I will say what he says in that one clip, and we've got other clips coming, in that one clip doesn't look good, because when you say, oh, you mean for other people? Okay, well, that's a different question.
No.
No, that's not a different question. That has very much been a part of this. And it's been a part of literally every other preventative measure having to do with COVID for over a year. Everybody knows about that, especially people who stay tuned to the news and are part of the cycle and all that. It's not just about you, although again, 21-year-olds can get COVID, suffer from it and die. So let's really not throw that in the garbage, because it's definitely still true. But the idea that you need to protect yourself, even if you might not get a bad case, so that others won't, is very, very, very much not new to the vaccine. It's true of masks and social distancing and virtually everything that we've done. How could you not know that? Seriously, he has to have. And again, that tells me this is an evasion, because he definitely knows that it's not just about yourself. Healthy people don't need this. No, healthy people take all vaccines, because that's how vaccines work. You take them before you get sick so that you won't, or if you do, it won't be as bad. That's what a vaccine is. That's what makes it distinct in medicine. This isn't new. Vaccines aren't new. None of this is new. Why is he acting like this is new?
That, John, you're giving him too much credit, because here's what's great about Joe Rogan, is he tells you why he's wrong while he's being wrong.
Like, he continues it literally then, yes.
He just said, oh, it's for other people, but that's a different argument. It's like, no, it's like, you told me that you understood it just now. You just told me that you get it. And then the next statement, that's a different argument, that's a different question or whatever, is the opposite of what you just said you learned.
Yeah. Well, no, and by the way, let's continue, because you're going to see more of that. But I do want to point out to the massive Joe Rogan fans who responded mostly on Instagram, it looked like, and had a massive issue with me pointing out that you should get the vaccine. Whether his apology or take back is any good, and I don't think it really is that good, but I'm acknowledging that he's at least doing it. I want you to acknowledge he's admitting he was wrong. So get off of me. He's admitting he was wrong. Anyway, here's a bit more of his kind of taking it back slash also getting mad that anyone has expectations for him.
Here's the thing, like all these people that are saying, and in many ways, listen, here's the thing. These are not like planned statements. Let's be real clear. Yeah. When I say something stupid, I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say before I say it. I'm just saying it, right? I don't have an off-air and on-air voice. I don't.
No.
I have me.
This is us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got through the net and I'm swimming in open waters. Okay? Yeah. And that's just how I live.
Yeah.
I don't, like, if you say you disagree with me, I probably disagree with me too. I disagree with me all the time. If someone said, you have, yeah, young, healthy 21-year-old people who eat well and exercise are not at high risk for coronavirus, but you should think about other people, I would say, well, that's a different argument. And yes, that makes sense. But I would say, aren't those people vaccinated? And shouldn't we vaccinate the vulnerable people? Any medication, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm a moron. And I'm a cage fighting commentator who's a dirty stand-up comedian who just told you I'm drunk most of the time. And I do testosterone and I smoke a lot of weed. But I'm not a respected source of information, even for me. If I say things, I'm always going, check on that, Jamie. I don't know if that's true.
I
do that all the time.
Right.
But I at least try to be honest about what I'm saying.
Or what you feel.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, the issue is that medical facts don't care about your feelings. And whether you want to be a respected source for information or not, you should be in some sort of cosmic sense. You are very much, and you know that. I'm sure he would love to be able to just have a podcast and say whatever he wants and have no consequences. I feel like he's being honest in that, but that isn't the world we live in. And people do listen to what he says. A certain type of guy does listen to what he says. And that is just reality. That's reality. So you can be responsible or you cannot, but you don't get to just say, nobody listens to what I say. Lots of people do. That's why you were paid like $100 million to change platforms. Lots of people do. That's just reality.
Yeah, I get, like, it's so hilarious to me. Like, I'm not mad at Joe Rogan for this. Like, I can't be. He just said all those words. The folks that are mad at me for pointing out how stupid he is, I don't understand that. It's similar to what you just said, because he pointed it out. Like, don't be mad at me for being right about this. He just told me that I'm right about this. I was right about this. Like, and in his discussion, he's like, whatever. This is to him, it's a get out of jail free card every time he does something terrible.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
And that's his move, is he doesn't feel, I'm not mad at Joe Rogan. I can't be mad with something like that. It's useless. Mm-hmm. Well,
I can be mad if the consequences of him being him is that less people get vaccinated and people get sick. But
right. Well, that's really different.
But hold on, Brad. I want to take issue with a particular thing that he said there. Because he said, I don't think about what I say before I say it, I just say it. Which again, I think a lot of people are gonna hear that and think, well, I think you should be able to think about what you say before you say it. But he says, I don't have an on-air and an off-air voice, which is a very bizarre conflating of authenticity with being intelligent. Like, I'm not, okay, you're saying I act the same off camera as you do on, which first of all, literally everyone says they do, but I admit, he probably does. Like, that is probably what he's like. Here's the thing, I feel like that's an important thing too, that you should be authentic. I also try not to say stupid things. Sometimes I don't meet that bar, sometimes I fall below it. But I think it's fine to have as a goal, not saying stupid things, particularly about incredibly important medical matters. So if you are gonna just say stuff without thinking about it and have no expectations for yourself, that's fine, but be a bit careful around some areas that you don't know anything about. I do that about so many different areas. I think medical stuff is a particularly important area to exercise that.
It's the cornstarch and water personality, where it's solid for a second, but then just turns to goo. Like, that's him. That's trying to have that conversation you did with Joe Rogan is like cornstarch and water. That's the thing that, like, if you apply pressure, it's solid. So you can maintain its solid state seemingly, but as soon as you let go, it turns kind of into a liquid and solid hybrid at the same time. And that's it. It just kind of falls apart. So you can't corner it to have that conversation, because it always has the, like, I'm just gonna, you know, make my way through the chain link of the octagon, because I'm just like, oh, I don't know, whatever, man. That's a really good point you just made. And then you go, are you gonna change your behavior based on it? It's like, nah, it seems to work for me, man. And you're just like, Well, I'm gonna go nuts if I keep engaging you in this way. So yeah. I'm going to then continue this exercise of when you do say something stupid, you kind of just asked us all to react in exactly this way. So your viewers and supporters need to expect respect and thank us for that, because their dear leader, Joe Rogan, basically said that everyone's responsibility then is to call him out, call him a moron, like he calls himself a moron when he is a moron. And
so then why is he mad? Yeah.
I don't think he's mad. He didn't seem mad in that situation.
Well, hold on. I have another video, but it's too long. We're not going to play it. But he does go on to effectively say that everybody is pretending to be bothered by this, that they are doing it to make money and for headlines, even though he just admitted that he was wrong. And that they are just worried about money, which is rich. I love being told that I and others, and he's obviously not talking about us in particular, but lots of people are doing things for money. Dude is sitting there making literally millions of dollars, like on a daily basis for the podcast he does. It is very easy to look at the people fighting in the mud and saying, no, everything they do and say is motivated by an interest for money. I'm totally pure. I'm just floating free, unattached to material concerns as I rake in hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. The rich are pure. Us poor folk, we're bathed in sin. Anyway, that said, do you want to do some good news?
I don't care.
You like good news? Didn't a guy that looks like you do a whole show about good news? Anyway, let's turn now to that. For the past couple of months, we've been talking about the terrible situation at the border. We have been, I think it's fair to say, freaking out about it, and we should. It was a consistent stance we had both before and after the transition of power to Joe Biden. And the hope was that if we do that, maybe they'll take it seriously and maybe they'll do something about it, because the situation was really bad. In some cases, children were alternating schedules to make space for one another in confined facilities, taking turns showering, often going days without one, while others hadn't seen the sunlight in days. Literally thousands of kids were in prison-like situations and being forced to stay there for many days at a time. Thankfully, that situation's been ameliorated, at least to some extent. The number of unaccompanied migrant children held in those facilities by US Customs and Border Protection dropped nearly 84% in the span of a month, according to a White House official. Understand, of course, that information is coming from the White House. We're acknowledging that. That said, that's what they're saying. As of Wednesday, there were less than 1,000 children in CBP facilities, down from a peak of close to 6,000 back on March 28th. The average time that these kids are staying in custody is now 28 hours, compared to over 133 hours back on March 28th. That too is a nearly 80% reduction in the time spent there. And they've also sped up the time between when the kids are taken in and when they're reunited with someone. That's been reduced to 29 days, down from 40. And if it's a parent or guardian, it's down to just 22 days. That said, there are still more than 22,000 kids in HHS care, but not in the worst sort of facilities that a lot of the media attention has rightfully focused on. So bearing in mind all of those caveats, Brett, it looks like they have responded to the pressure and are doing something to make the situation at the border better.
The lesson to learn is keep the pressure up, keep calling people out when they fail to fulfill their promises, or when they ignore their promises and shirk the responsibilities. And you can affect positive change in the world and find like-minded people to help you do that. And definitely call your representative and every representative necessary in order to make that happen. Because sometimes it does work.
Yeah, it does. And this is a particularly important area. I found it to be not only an objective, a moral crisis that needed to be dealt with, but it was also an important test for both the media and regular people. Are you going to be consistent and be bothered by the same bad thing happening under a different person? Or are you going to, without enough evidence being provided yet because of how recently he'd become president, just trust that Biden will do the right thing? Look, I have more faith in Biden than I have in Trump. That said, we still need to, as Brett just said, apply pressure, because he's not a saint. He's not our hero. He's not Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders isn't deserving 100% faith. And so I am glad that
Like, I can't necessarily say exactly why in all cases people did respond, I think, the right way to this. It could be that for some in the media, it's less consistency and more bowing to the demand by the right for freaking out about this. The right that wants this to be a major issue, but doesn't care at all about any of the people actually involved in it. That said, it looks like the situation is getting better. We can't take our eye off the ball, but it looks like it's moving in the right direction.
No, everything's fine now. Let's move on. Let's focus on something completely different. Let's not pay attention to these. I like when people's reaction is that. Like, if you were to bring up this subject later and then they go like, well, it's down 87%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good. It's like saying you only ever need to like be responsible once.
Yes, that's
did
true.
It. Well, remember, I did that one thing with that one vert part of the immigration issue. So let's talk about education. Like, that is it. And that's our responsibility. And it's tough because people will, you know, right now the specific issue with America is this pressure to believe that everything's cool and easy now and everyone agrees because the Trump era is over. Yeah. But that's very much not the case. And yes, the way that people treat problems, talking about them like they're like, you can have a media apparatus say that something's not a problem and a lot of people will start to believe it. And in certain respects, that's better than like a fiercely tribal media environment at all times 24/7 trying to tear you apart. But the damage done by that, the kind of casualties of that dynamic are folks that really do need you to sound the alarm because their lives are still on fire. Yeah. So in these times, don't let people say, listen, it's better than Trump. That's the end of the discussion. Because sometimes it just feels better than Trump because it's less infuriatingly presented. But as you pointed out, during this time, it was the same problem that was going on. And we needed to fix it. And that's why we presented it as such, so that it would be fixed.
Agreed. That said, let's move to some other good news. New study out of Tufts indicates that the surge in voting in the last election was also quite prevalent in the younger voters. So they show that half of Americans aged 18 to 29 cast a ballot in the 2020 general election, one of the highest youth voting rates in recent history, and an 11-point increase from 2016, a cycle that felt like it had a lot of youth involvement. 2020 did eclipse it. Young people exceeded national increases in voter participation. So this isn't just like everybody was voting more. Everybody was voting more, but young people were voting more than the other people who were voting more, which is, I think, what we want to see, especially because historically, always younger people vote at basically the lowest rates. And because politics not only affects them, but arguably will affect them for far longer, the decisions that are made by any given administration, it is important that they're involved. And I don't know if this is a particular effect of Trump or the pandemic. We have some evidence that it might be legal changes. But it's good to see that they got involved. Hopefully that is, you know, an omen, like some sort of sign that they will continue to stay involved.
Yes, it is good that young people are involved. It's not so bad, is it? It's not that hard, right? A couple of things that are working against the ability for young or the likelihood that young people will still exercise the franchise in future election cycles. One, politics isn't as front and center right now. People aren't paying as much attention to it. It is very tempting to what I said earlier. We solved that problem. We solved the Trump problem. I never have to worry about another thing again. That's not the case. The things that led to Trump, many of which are born out of restrictions to voting, are now being doubled down on.
Exactly.
In new voting initiatives that prevent people from being able to vote. So it was easier this time because everyone was like, you're home, you can send in a ballot, you can vote earlier and longer. Those options are not going to be options next time around if these gerrymandered Republican legislatures have their way. Why do I say gerrymandered Republican legislatures? Look at Florida. Florida was a pretty close vote. If you look at the, you know, in the general election, and has been technically a swing state as states go. But if you look at the representation in the legislature, it's like 87-17 Republican to Democrat. They draw those lines so that it's easy to pass those laws. The reason they've been able to do that is because they've increased their foothold, and they got a foothold in gerrymandering and increased their advantage over time. And then they're gonna keep doing that because no matter who's president, they still control the state legislatures, and the census goes down, and then they use that to draw state their districts on state lines or on party lines. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, like, you just need to make sure that you find ways to care still, right? Mm-hmm. I do like but I do also, the other part is just like, it wasn't so hard. It's gonna be a little harder, but it wasn't that bad. And it probably felt pretty good to go in there and say, I actually did cast my vote. And remind yourself that this last election was determined really by 30,000 people in like three states. That was the margin as our electoral breakdown goes. So, and that's gonna get harder next time around.
But it doesn't have to. Obviously, Republicans are trying and have already passed bills in a number of states, one we're gonna mention in just a second. But in theory, the Democrats could pass HR 1. We'll see if that actually happens. That would help to stop a lot of the strike back against voting rights. Like this is in a segment that we have of good news, but there are lots of people, Republicans, that see this and think that's the worst news possible. I hate that, and I will stop that in future elections. It's Friday, and so it's time to take out the trash. One of these weeks, we're going to talk beforehand to find out who's going first, but not this week. Brett, would you like to give us your garbage person first?
Sure, I will give you my garbage person first. This is a great garbage person, and I think this is enough time in the event they didn't have a chance to set up that video before it was time to play. All right. So my garbage person is a dude from a show put out by the Daily Wire called Backstage. Now, what is Backstage? It is when a bunch of hosts from Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire sit in a fancy ass lounge with fancy lighting and a fancy camera, drinking fancy whiskey that they have to Greek out the label of, and smoking fancy cigars to tell you really what would make America a more equitable society. And one of the dudes kind of interrupted Ben Shapiro's rant about an equitable tax structure to make this point. Garbage.
When Joe Biden decides that your boss needs to be taxed out of existence in order so that he can determine where the dollars go, this jackass who's never created a single job in his entire life.
The people who don't pay their fair share in this country are the poor. We need to raise taxes on the poor. I'm not joking. The poor in this country pay zero. The lower middle class in this country pay net zero. So we have a group of people who pay no taxes, a group of people who pay no net taxes, a group of people who pay all the net taxes. And his argument is that it's category three who don't pay their fair share. Fair share means your percentage of taxes. We've determined that there are some people who shouldn't pay any percent of taxes. The only fair taxing system is one in which everyone pays.
It's fair when you earn your views and they're not bought by D-bags who finance your entire operation.
Yeah.
This is just to point out what kind of garbage that dude is.
It's
Ben
garbage.
Shapiro thought it was so insane that he thought it was a joke. And so did whatever his name is on the other side, the guy who like gets hired by Ted Cruz to sit there and interview him on the Ted Cruz question and answer hour. I forget that dude's name, and thank God. But like, see right there, that reaction on his face was him being like, oh, this guy isn't joking. So now I have to pretend that I knew that the whole time. And
I think the reason he believed that is because that is a room where those guys actually go and have a really fun, cool time with really cool, awesome guys. It's a laugh a minute,
And so they just assume, oh, we're having more fun jokes in this place where we have real pleasure with each other's company because we're not all awful and doing this for the money. So that's probably why.
They're sitting in club chairs, drinking.
They're smoking cigars. They don't want to smoke cigars. They have to smoke cigars. That looks like the worst common room ever, by the way.
It looks like going the way when we
common room vibes, but
it looks like when we tried to reboot common room way back in, like halfway way back in the day with like the
sure,
fancy
but the chairs
camera
are like
moves, and we were like, this is too douchey.
Yeah, a little. We had fun people though, at the very least. But anyway, yeah, no, it's a terrible point. It's a point that he can't even really try to justify. That's why he says, you know what the poor pay? The poor pay zero. And then he moves on really quickly. The poor pay zero what? Zero tax? No, that's not true. And you know that it's not true. What you mean is they pay zero federal income tax on, and the category you're talking about there is people who make less than $13,000 a year. Now, saying the point, the poor pay zero, sounds a little bit more justifiable than people who make $8,000 a year don't pay federal income taxes, but pay taxes on virtually everything else. And in fact, a significant portion of their total income still goes to tax, but that bothers me. So I think they should be taxed more. That point isn't quite as spicy, I guess.
Right. The stuff that poor people have to spend money on is effectively a much higher percentage of their overall income than a rich ass person. Cause like buying milk, if you don't have a lot of money and your paycheck that week, that your groceries eat up most of your check.
Yeah.
When you
and
make
you're paying taxes on the milk.
And that's what it's exactly what I mean. Your sales tax is a regressive tax for the reason I just said. But the income tax, and then also like all these times when they're saying America was great, the way we need to make it great again, pick a year and every tax across the board was like twice as high on the highest marginal tax bracket than it is now. So more than twice, three times as much.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two amazing things that just happened there. One is acknowledged by, let's see, we have Andy, just Andy in the YouTube chat says, if Ben Shapiro isn't the biggest knob on the stage, you've achieved something noteworthy, which is definitely true. I think Ben Shapiro briefly realized, wait, is this how people feel about me? But anyway, and then the other is, what an amazing achievement that these incredibly mediocre men who have been shoved in the faces of millions of people with so much advertising money, and whether they succeed or not in terms of actually generating real viewership and fans doesn't matter because they can fail over and over and billionaires will always bail them out, that have been given these lives by wealthy individuals to protect their money, have a show where they sit around looking like douches and saying the poor need to be taxed higher. And they might even be successful in getting some poor conservatives to think, hey, yeah, they're right. And then not realize that they're the ones who will be targeted by the regressive economic plans of those douches on that stage.
So nuts.
It's sad. It's sad. Great garbage person. And in fact, that was sort of a bonus because you got like five garbage people in there, actually. But now we turn to mine. For my garbage person of the week, I don't have a person. I'm cheating. I have the entire state of Florida. You're all going in the trash, or at least mostly your political representatives. If you just live there, I guess you're not responsible. There is gerrymandering and all that. There's a few different reasons that Florida could be going in the trash that it's not specifically going. Like for instance, when they passed their new bill banning trans women and girls in school sports, they were just another state to do that recently. Isn't that fun? They care. They care so much about young people and about women's sports that they just had to do that. It could be because they just today, I think, or last night passed their elections bill that adds new restrictions to voting. Because a lot of people voted and they can't have it. They don't want that. And so they're striking back in a ton of different ways to make it as difficult as possible to vote. But then there's this on top, and this is just sort of petty and stupid. So the Florida legislature passed a bill yesterday that would ban schools from requiring students to provide proof of a COVID-19 vaccination. Because of course they're going to. That is one of the things that Republicans care the most about, is making sure that people don't get the vaccine. The issue is that State schools in Florida already require students to submit proof of vaccinations and immunizations in order to attend public school, and they have for literally decades, for a ton of different things. you have to show that you have the required shots for the measles, mumps, rubella, polio, chickenpox, hepatitis B, and multiple others. So far as I know, none of these Republicans, whether they're voters or the legislators, have ever had a problem with that. But now it's like trendy to pretend that it's some big issue that a kid would have to get a shot so that the kid doesn't get sick, doesn't get other kids sick. Oh, I don't know, gets their 75-year-old social studies teacher sick and then they die. Now it's crazy. It's just, it's so see-through. It's so pathetic, these little distractions that they will come up with. And I feel somewhat vindicated that, like, last December I predicted that they were gonna turn hard against the vaccines and everybody said that was crazy. They wouldn't do that because it's Trump's vaccine. Why would they do that? But they're doing it. They're doing it at multiple levels of government. They're doing it throughout right-wing media. It's going to get more people sick. More people will needlessly die. What a terrible state government. Thanks, Florida.
The extra rotting banana peel on that lump of garbage is that simultaneously they want Trump to get more credit for the vaccine.
Yep. And they want him to get the credit and they don't want you to get the vaccine.
Ungrateful. It is a terrible, terrible, terrible vaccine that I'm not really buying and I think it's dangerous and it went too fast. But why are you not thanking Trump for the vaccine itself and specifically the speed at which it became available?
That really suspicious, scary speed that he deserves endless credit for. It doesn't make any sense.
So stupid.
Florida. Anyway, Florida's the worst.
It's where my wife was born.
That's on the list. Anyway, no, that's where my mom lives. I've had a lot of great Christmases in Florida, but your state government absolutely sucks. but those are our garbage people. But what about you? Well, every week we ask the community to nominate and eventually vote on garbage people. 29,000 of you voted this week. And coming in at number 5 with 5% of the vote, Dave Grossman for indoctrinating cops across America with his killology system. Really, community? He got 5th? That guy's really bad. Anyway,
name recognition.
That's possible. Now, at number 4 with 7% of the vote, Rick Santorum for his racist remarks towards Native Americans. Those comments were terrible. And it's a reminder to me that, wow, that was this week. Man, a lot has happened this week. I had completely forgotten about that. Coming at number 3 with 9% of the vote, Ted Cruz for sleeping during Biden's speech, then joking about it. So people are more mad at Ted Cruz for sleeping than Dave Grossman for his killings. Anyway, coming at number 2 with 16% of the vote, Arizona's GOP for conducting an unnecessary and secret election audit. It has been a complete joke so far. But by far at number 1 this week, 63% of the vote for the Colorado cops for brutalizing a woman with dementia and then laughing about it. It is really hard to argue against that. That is really rough. That is really garbage. And thank you to the 29,000 of you who voted. Very much appreciated. That said, Brett, thank you so much for taking part as always. What can we look forward to later on today?
We got TYT, Hour 1 with John Iadarola, Cenk Uygur, and Francesca Fiorentini. Hour 2 with J.R. Jackson, Cenk Uygur, and Roland Martin. Followed by a post game. And then at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, you will find a happy half hour episode. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, kitten.
Kitten.
Hey, oh, my baby God. Kid. This is his interview. It's his interview. And I know it's him. See, I recognize the boy.
Is that its purr? Is that its little meow?
Yep.
It has the cutest tiny meow.
He just. You little baby.
Oh,
my
God. Oh, come on. How cute is it? I would watch a show of 5 of those sitting in leather chairs smoking cigars. People are freaking out in the chat, by the way.
That's brutality. But is this kitten so too big? Should we kind of restrict its movement so it can get no bigger? Feed it nothing?
Give it cigarettes so it won't grow.
Wife is critical of the way I am holding it right now.
Okay, well, that's deservedly so. Unfortunately, we are running up against our time limit. I want to thank all of you kittens out there for being on the show today. Thank everybody who watched, everybody who supported the show. Very much appreciated. Old School is going to be live next Monday. Just another reminder, we'll remind you on Monday. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be on the main show. Look forward to seeing you then. But until then, stay safe out there. Stay sane out there. Stay a kitten out there. And I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.